the house of the Lord once again. I give honor to God who's head of my life. I thank Mike and Katrina for giving me this opportunity to speak before you today. A little introduction of myself. I've been ministering for a couple of years now. This is my first opportunity, as Mike said, here at Prague. I used to be a youth pastor in Florida, and I filled in as the chaplain aboard the ship for 2 years that I was aboard there. However, I think this has been the hardest sermon for me to ever prepare. Probably because it's something that God has been dealing with me with my entire life. See, it's easy to stand in front of people and tell them what the word says and what the word's about. But when you don't have to live the word, it's a totally different reaction. So I had to turn to God and I had to ask God, Lord, how am I going to bring this to these people? They don't understand my life. They don't understand where I've been. How am I going to bring it to them? He just looked at me. Bring it the way I brought it to you. So I'm going to bring it to you today. The title of my sermon is Hope in a Hopeless Time. So I hope this blesses you today. Many of us, whether we're young, old, rich or poor, black or even white, have that moment where we stand in the crossroads of life. Nothing seems to be going right. Where all hope seems to be gone. And everything just seems to be lost. Where there's no ups to your downs, no ins to your outs. This is what I'm going to be speaking about today. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we welcome you into this place. We thank you for everything you have done for us, seen and unseen. We thank you just for being with us when we're having those tough times. When we're having those difficulties, Lord, you are there. And Lord God, as I bring this word, Lord God, I ask you to minister to each and every one of them, dear Father. Open up their hearts, open up their minds to receive this word, dear Father. And Lord God, I just want to thank you and praise your holy name in your son's holy name. Amen. For me, in many ways, my life seemed to be hopeless. There were times that I contemplated and even tried to commit suicide. There have been times where I didn't know if I would even see tomorrow. See, from my beginning, I've been in the process of training for the power of hope. My beginning started off hopeless in many ways. I was raised by a teenage mother who had to drop out of school to raise me. My father left soon after I was born. Growing up, my biggest goal was to become someone or something that he would be proud of, that he would want to get to know me. And until I was about 18, I thought he left because he just didn't want to know me. I wasn't good enough. So growing up to me really seemed hopeless. And it really was a struggle. However, my family still tried to give me hope. I grew up in church. My mother was religious. And we went to the church that my grandfather was the pastor of. I was even called by God to follow in his footsteps in the ministry. So I knew the word. However, I left the word. I walked away from it. I left God. I just couldn't focus no more. I started questioning if there really was a God. Some may say it may have been peer pressure. Some may say it's just lack of faith. I don't know. I just know I needed answers. And it didn't seem like he was answering them for me quick enough. See, I watched my cousin sit in a coma for 2 years. Or 2 months, I'm sorry. And they told us that he wasn't going to make it. I received a phone call from one of my best friends that one of my other best friends had died. He was murdered. And I could be next. I received a letter that another one of my closest friends growing up was killed by her husband. And she was even with child. My first wife left me for another man. And a few years later, the one person that was able to keep me up through all those difficult times, my grandmother, passed away with cancer. For a while, my life just seemed hopeless. I didn't know where I was going to go, what to do, who to run to. So finally, years later, I turned to God. I didn't know what else to do. But when I turned it all over to him, he healed me. All my pains left me. He filled all my losses. My father, that I spoke about earlier, that never wanted to be with me. I felt never wanted to be with me. Several months ago, you may have seen him. Me and him are best friends now. We talk every week. All my best friends that I lost, he replaced them with all of you. My ex-wife, he replaced her with a newer and better one. And I can't do nothing but thank God for what he's taken me through, because he helped me become who I am today. Now I stand before you glad to be in the house of the Lord. Now, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. And that gives me hope. That gives me faith. My story isn't the only story of hope. If you open up your Bible, you will find many and many stories of hope. One of my favorite stories is in the book of Genesis. You ain't going to be able to turn to the chapter and verse because it's about 20 chapters. It's the story of Jacob and Joseph. You want to read that? You can find that in Genesis 30 to 50. Joseph was one of Jacob's 12 sons. He was the favorite son because it was the one born to him of old age. Joseph was hated by his 10 other older brothers, and he was sold into slavery. His brothers went and told their father that their brother was killed, but he wasn't. After being sold into slavery, he was later tempted and punished for doing the right thing. He was later imprisoned and forgot about by those he had helped. In reading the story, you see that Joseph, in each case, had a positive response. He didn't ask the question of why. It was, now, what do I have to do? See, many times we get caught up into our problems that we're too busy asking the question, why? And not trying to figure out what we have to do next to overcome. He rose into power from a slave to a ruler in Egypt. He prepared a nation for a famine, and he was even able to help his family through that famine. See, those same brothers that so long ago sold him into slavery now had to come to him for help. In chapter 48:11, it says, "And Israel said to Joseph, I had not the thought to see your face, but in fact, God has also shown me your offspring." See, when Joseph became a slave, Jacob thought he was dead. He wept in despair. But eventually, God's plan allowed Jacob to regain not only his son, but his grandchildren as well. Circumstances are never so bad that they are beyond God's help. Jacob regained his son. In the book of Job, you'll see that Job got a new family. And in Matthew, Mary regained her brother Lazarus. We don't never need to despair because we belong to a loving God. We never know what God, what good he will bring out of a seamlessly hopeless situation. We need to trust in him. See, for me, growing up in that seamlessly hopeless situation, I started to lean in towards gangs, drugs, alcohol. My life was turned upside down. And see, after being in that time of rebellion, and I turned my life over to God, he started ministering to me. He started feeding me with his word and started showing me what he wants me to do. In that study, first thing he gave me was 1 Peter. See, because even after I turned my life over to God, I was still drinking a lot. I was still doing things I just know I shouldn't have been doing. But in 1 Peter 5:8, it states to be sober. Be vigilant. Do you know what it is to be vigilant? It is to be watchful, to be on your toes. Being very cautious. You can't do that when you're not sober. You can't do that if you have everything else, drugs, alcohol, and everything else clogging up your mind. He said, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I don't know about y'all, but I like to watch Animal Planet. Okay? And on Animal Planet, they always portray the lion as the biggest, baddest cat out there. He knows his adversaries. He knows their weaknesses. He knows their strengths. The same is it for Satan. He knows where we're strong in. He knows what we're weak in. But God is stronger than he. See, Satan has a plan for us. One, he wants to make us doubt. He wants to make us question God's word and his goodness. He wants to make us question God's word and his goodness. So if he can make us question his word, he believes he can have you defeated. If he can make you question his word and believe that your sins are not washed in the blood, he has you beat. He wants to discourage us. He wants us to focus on our problems and not on God. When I was going through my problems, my issues, I couldn't see past those issues. So if he keeps throwing issues in front of you, you have a hard time seeing past those issues. He wants to cause a diversion. He wants you to believe that the wrong things is so attractive that you don't want to do the right thing any longer. That's why people that's strung out on drugs are strung out on drugs. Because that moment, that feeling, that attraction, keeping them tied up. Those pleasures in life that just seem to be fun can keep you distracted from what God says and what God wants for your life. Fourth, he wants to defeat us. He wants you to feel like a failure so that you don't even try anymore. See, because Satan knows if he defeats you, he beats you. He defeats you, he beats you. Just like, how many of you guys out there like football? Okay. A team comes out in the first quarter and score 14 points, you're already in that other team's head and they ain't going to probably come back. That's the same strategy that Satan tries to use on our lives. He throws so many problems and so many distractions at us that before we even know it, we are so overburdened. We don't want to get up no more. Fifth, he wants to delay us. Make you put off doing something that is never, so that it never gets done. How many procrastinators I got out there? I'm quick to tell my wife, yeah, I'll cut the grass tomorrow. You know, I'm quick to push off something for the next day. But tomorrow never comes. We can only live for today. See, tomorrow is never given to anyone. You have to live for today. So that time you push off being with your loved ones, oh, we'll do this tomorrow. Times your wife asks you to do a little favor, hey, go cut the grass. I'll do it tomorrow. We only have today. There's never a tomorrow. Our God lives today, and he gives us life. He gives us hope in them hopeless times. I looked up the word hope. It said confident trust with the expectation of fulfillment. In Philippians 3, 13 and 14, Paul says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are being behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Here, Saul had good reason to forget what was in his past. He had held the code of those who stoned Stephen. Stephen was the first Christian murderer. We live in tensions of what we have been and what we want to be. Because our hope is in Christ, we can let go of our past guilts and look forward to what God will help us become. Don't dwell on the past. Realize that you are forgiven, and then move on with the life of faith and obedience. He sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for us. He died on the cross for us, that we may be saved, that we may be rescued, that we may be delivered. But the story doesn't stop there. The story doesn't stop there. See, on the third day he rose again, the stone was rolled away. It was pushed away, and he ascended to the right hand of the Father. I don't know about you, but that makes me excited. That fills me up with hope. He gave us hope, and he gave us the desire of expectation. In Hebrews 13, he said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. He would never leave thee or forsake thee. So even in those times when all hope seems to be lost, he stands with you. Even in those times where you just can't stand up no more, you can't raise your head up no more, he's there with you. Our God is there. Many of you are familiar with the parables written by Mary Stevenson called Footprints in the Sand. When reviewing her life with God, she said she seen two sets of footprints in the sand, side by side. But then she noted at different points in her life, when there were times of trials and difficulties, there was only one set of prints. She figured that God abandoned her, otherwise she wouldn't have had those times. Then God answered her and said, I will never leave you. During the times of trials and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. It was then that I carried you. We're going to have those times that hope may seem to be lost. But we can't just sit there and feel hopeless. Because it's time like these we have to hold firm to our God, and that He's the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the beginning and the end. He's the Father to the fatherless, the friend to the friendless. And He holds all power in His hands. And He'll carry us through those hopeless times. Many of you today came here for hope. Came here with a spirit of expectation, the spirit of fulfillment. Even in times like these, He is there. David said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress. He's my deliverer, my shield, the horn of salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, my Savior." And this is the God that stands with us now, that stands with us right now. See, a lot of times we think of Him as the God of the past, but He is the God of the now. See, because the same God that was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace is the same God that stands amongst us now. The same God that stood with David in the lion's den is the same God that we need to cling to now. There are some of you that may have pain in your heart. Hope may seem to be feeling like it's drifting away. I'm a living example of what God can do and will do in your life. See, you don't just have to go into the Word. You can look right here amongst you. Because everyone has a story that God has delivered them from. God stands here knocking at the door. Why don't you let Him in? Don't worry about the past, because you can't go back and fix the past. Don't live for tomorrow, because it'll never come. You can only live for today. And our God is the God of today. So now the altar's open. If you have any pains, any hurts, you just need God to come and feel that empty spot, to patch those wounds. He's here, and He'll do it. I'm a witness. He will do it. Come.
Thank you, brother. There's a real tendency we're going through that furnace like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there's a real tendency to come to the conclusion that, well, yeah, the Lord will do it for everybody else, but I don't think He's going to do it for me, not in this thing. As if somehow you're going to be the first. And it's a lie straight from the pit of hell. Just like Terrence was talking about, is that lion that means to come and strike at your weakness. I'm going to ask you to stand, please. Ministers, please come forward. I appreciate the content of Terrence's message today. It's very easy to, once you're going through a tough spot, or to consider particularly the tough spots that you've been in the past, and somehow because of those things that you may have done, to suddenly disqualify yourself from the things that God has called you to. And that also is a lie straight from the pit of hell. So if you're in that place where you are either going through some place where there just seems to be no hope, or you have disqualified yourself because of that thing which you have done in the past, I'm going to invite you to come forward if you wish, that our ministers may serve you. Furthermore, this house is a house that believes that we have a God who can heal and restore today. So if you're going through any type of emotional pain in which you're looking for some healing, some restoration, we're going to invite you to come as well. But also physically. AJ, I want to make sure that you come forward. If you're in some kind of physical pain, let us pray with you so that you can walk out that door without that physical pain anymore. Okay? So if any of these things speak to you, I ask you to come forward. Otherwise, you're dismissed to go out the back doors, downstairs to the sunroom where we can just go hugging on your necks. Make sure that you bring your things with us as we prepare for the next service. Please come.